Jets fan. Justin Bourne on the line right now. How's it going, Borny?
You know, it's good. It's good. I'm still a Jets fan. That's not good. But other than that, it's good.
Yeah. No, see, we already called you out for that. We already said that you're not a Jets fan today on the show.
I don't throw me in there. You said that. That was your claim. JD Bunkus says.
How did
you're
I
not
get that label?
Fan.
Yeah,
that's great.
So I was like, if I ask you to name seven Jets, you're going to start with Mark Scheifele.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's it. Like,
what I do. You,
yeah, no. My college roommate is a Jets fan. Where in university, he was that guy who, with what little money he had, would continuously buy more Jets jerseys. And the collection that he has at this point is hilarious, right?
Yeah.
Because they're actually beautiful uniforms.
Yeah.
The green and the white, and they've basically had beautiful ones the entire existence. But there's a lot of bad misses in there.
I never got a Sanchez, but I wear a Dustin Keller jersey most Sundays because it's like it's been lean.
Yeah,
that's my wife has a Santonio Holmes. Like it's
that's a good one. That's a real good one. Number 10, looks good, crisp.
Yeah,
Santonio Holmes had a moment with the Jets.
Yeah,
the Jets had
a moment with the Jets.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. The Jets did have 2 years where I was afraid of them winning a Super Bowl, and then everything outside of those 2 years has been
they beat
dry.
The Patriots in the playoffs, and people are like, the Jets have always been a laughingstock.
We had Mark Sanchez on a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about it's a very forgotten team to football history, rightly so, because they didn't make a Super Bowl, but they beat the Patriots, an incredible Patriots team.
They were loaded
at wide receiver.
Tom
Brady is prime. Yeah, and then the following series in the AFC Championship game, they fell down early to the Steelers and then almost came back, almost won that game. And that's what we talked to Mark about, was how his legacy is different and how that Jets team is perceived differently. If they just win that game, they beat Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady and get to a Super Bowl. You got to look at that as, hey, even if they lose there, that's still one of the AFC teams of that decade that you have to remember. Now they just kind of fall by the wayside. But
Sanchez might be one of the biggest victims of meme culture ever. Like, the butt fumble somehow overshadows years of pretty good play.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, he's doing okay. It's
We talked to him. Guess what? He's still fine with himself. He seems like
he's not downtrodden. He's not like, I can't even look up. I go down the street and I just look at my shoes because I don't want to make eye contact with anybody.
Hey, there's butt fumble guy. And I hide my ugly face in shame.
I said,
there's beautiful
pro
athlete guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I told him that he still leads the league in who's that guy. From wives and girlfriends who watch sports over your shoulder and see Mark Sanchez on your television screen. It's like, who's that guy? he's the ultimate ask of that question. It happens every single time.
Randall Grichuk is the leader in my household. The guy that every couple of weeks my wife is like, who's that guy? It's like, I just told you 2 weeks ago. It's Randall Grichuk.
Yeah. Okay? It's like, no, I just wanted an update for Google.
Yeah.
It's like just put in your Google searches, you'll find it. Just go through the alphabet, it'll be the top
R.
one
in put R in the search bar.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
coming up.
It'll be all right.
Can I start the hockey conversation with this?
Okay. You decide.
It's fresh in our minds. Dallas Stars off to the Stanley Cup final. Woo. Congratulations to them and their five fans. Zach Whitecloud takes the penalty in overtime, 2 minutes for a delay game, and the Stars
score. That's not a person.
Mr. Whitecloud. Yeah, Zach Whitecloud.
Yeah, Zach Whitecloud.
Yeah, that's right. And the Golden Knights were bellyaching about the penalty, and Twitter, some sections of it, were crying about the penalty. It can't be a penalty. You can't decide a playoff series on a penalty like that. It's a penalty. It's been a penalty for years now. I'm sorry. Did you do it intentionally? Probably not. Are there lots of penalties that are still penalties, even though you had no intent in your heart? Yeah. Like, what? I don't see the problem with this rule whatsoever. I think if you get rid of it, even if you do the thing where you mitigate it a little bit, it's like an icing where you can't change or something. Guys are going to do that more often. It's not going to be every single time they're stuck in the defensive zone, but it's going to be an option. I have no problem with this delay a game penalty, and it feels like the majority of at least hockey Twitter seems to think that it should be at least reviewed and it should be eliminated from the game. Where are you on the delay a game penalty, Bourne?
I like the concept of heart intent. Like, did he have intent in his heart to make this play?
Right.
You know, it's a chintzy call, right? Like, it's just the same play happens. A guy chops a puck at the glass, and whether it's an inch lower or an inch higher, it's like, it's a pretty big penalty. However, your point is a salient one. The rule is the rule. They know the rules. So if you chop at a puck with a 60-degree wedge, you know, with a blade open towards the glass, you're taking a risk. You know, that's part of the understanding of it. I don't have a problem with it. There's nothing about me that looked at that game or that series and goes, were it not for that penalty, like, Vegas lost in five games. You don't get to complain
about... They blew a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, in the third period. You don't get to complain about that penalty when you put yourself in that position.
My only thought on it was, I wish hockey teams could change the dimensions of their rinks the way that baseball teams could. So if you just had a chopper team, you could build your glass just really high. Yeah. And you're like, we're
this is the commentary of someone who hasn't been watching much hockey.
Yeah. You got that right, buddy. And if I don't even know where to begin with that. Like, if you think I'm staying up or not watching NFL football so that I can watch an elimination game between the Stars and Golden Knights, like, you are dead wrong. Like, there is no chance. I got to tell you, Ben and I have actually been talking a lot about hockey, but it's been kind of in a similar conversation about where the business has gone and what they have done. And I've been stuck on this idea recently, especially that I really think that they killed the golden goose a little bit with overexpansion and the salary cap just diminishing the value of Canadian franchises, and just that really, there's not enough markets that care about this thing. And the ones that do, now it's really, really hard for them to win because it's this even league where you do see the Dallas Stars in there and you do see the Tampa Bay Lightning in there. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, I know you brought in all this ownership money and you continue to expand, but I don't think that there's as many hockey players in the NHL as there should be, like, for a professional product. There's way too many guys that are just, you know, bottom six dudes that really don't matter. What was that guy's name? White Cloud? I mean, maybe he's good. Sorry to hit White Cloud if he's really good. But that there's just too many guys that are the same. There's too many guys that are meh. That the product is not... I love hockey, and I think this is what makes me sad about it, is that I've been a fan my entire life. This is the least I've ever been invested in it. And it's because I just think that they've handled the business poorly ever since the lockout. Like, I think it's gone in just really bad directions. And I hear people all the time say, well, you know, they're emphasizing skill, and that's way better. Like, you know, I got into a heated argument with Shai Davidi about it once because I said, you know, you go back and you look at old playoff matchups. Like, I was watching Oilers versus Ducks earlier during the pandemic, and I thought, man, this is what I really loved. And it's chippy, it's fun, there's skill, there's everything. And now I just kind of watch it and it's bleh. And even for all the skill emphasis, like, the Stars over the last two seasons are second in goals against average, right? Like, that's the style of hockey they play. We've got the Islanders in another finals. Even if they get bounced to one of the most skilled teams in hockey, that's still where we're at with it. Like, I just...
But yeah, that skilled team had to learn not to win with its skill, right? That was the lesson that the Lightning learned last year, is like, yeah, it's all well and good. Skill, 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 but not in the playoffs.
Yeah, my main thing is just that it hurts Canada, and I hate that.
Well, that may be true. I think the read that, you know, Bettman and some of the higher-ups have made is that it's a really fast game, and it's really tough to sort of parse out what's happening sometimes, and that if the product drops in quality, I think that means there are more breakdowns and more goals, and, you know, it slows down a little bit. Like, I think they're okay with all of those outcomes. I think that they're wrong. I'm with you that, you know, if you distill it down to the true elite talents, it's a better game, and it is somewhat watered down now for sure. But still, you know, if you're a hockey fan, the hockey that they're playing right now is, you know, it's not hard to get behind. I understand that there's a lot going on, so if we lose, I feel like if you take yourself out of hockey and focus on other sports, it's tough to get back in. Like, hockey fans that have stayed in it, it's easy to stay in it, but once you kind of have one toe in the water, it's hard to be a casual fan of hockey right now.
I think that's the thing, right, is we're generalists. We watch everything, and so our perspective is very different. If I'm watching hockey and watching a lot of it, you're right, I am fine, and I'm mostly like, okay. But yeah, when we're up against every single other sport here, it's hard for me to justify giving my attention to the sport the way that I normally would. the way that it feels as urgent as it has throughout the rest of my life. Like, it just it hasn't been there. Part of it is certainly that the Jays are extremely relevant, right? Like, that they're doing this too, that they're every single night, and that they're captivating my attention. Because normal years, if you had the Blue Jays of like 2017 up against the Stanley Cup playoffs, there's absolutely no way in hell I would be watching the no offense, bad pitching team go out there and
right. And
do the slog fest in an empty stadium. But
now you're a part of Dro's Bros with Benny. You're stuck in the Jays watching.
Exactly. We are the Ellie Ham Bros. That's kind of a good one too. No, I just I think part of it is just getting older, but the fact that so many Canadian teams have not been Stanley Cup relevant for so long, like in my lifetime, essentially, my high school to adult lifetime or junior high to adult lifetime, I've seen the Flames, I've seen the Canucks, I've seen the Oilers in Stanley Cup finals, and I've seen the Senators, 1 year. So that's 4 years, right, since, 2004, where we've had a Canadian team that's in the Stanley Cup finals. And I just think that that sapped a lot of energy from this country in terms of their momentum behind hockey. And, you know, the television numbers are going to reflect that. I think that the general interest from fans is going to reflect that. The fact that, you know, we live in a world where everybody has access to every single sport, that all of these things are doing that's what I mean by the golden goose, is that you had to take care of the good markets and the markets that matter. And even if when you see it in football, like, that still happens. The markets that matter, for the most part, stay competitive. They usually have one team. And guess what? There's a reason why they put multiple teams in the markets that do more than any of the other ones. And just with hockey, too many teams, too many players, and too even across the board for you to ever build those really good teams and markets that matter outside of their nailing of the Chicago Blackhawks for a couple of years. But anyway, I don't want to crap on hockey anymore.
I'm at least 10% offended that we're doing the state of hockey leading into the Stanley Cup final.
No, right I know.
Now.
Yeah. Let me just say this, actually. I've been thinking about the Golden Knights because I actually think this is fascinating to me, is how do you evaluate disappointment? Because you've got this fan base, right? Like, that walked into an expansion team where you expect to be losers for the first at least 5 years, right? That's kind of the rule of thumb, that your team's going to suck for a while. They took all these picks. They had all these young players. All of a sudden, you end up in a Stanley Cup final year one, and you're one of the most competitive teams in hockey. But you, I, and Ben all agreed that when you watch that team, that they look to be the most talented team in the Western Conference, that they should be in a Stanley Cup final, that it should be them and the Tampa Bay Lightning this year. And they lose. So you've got this unprecedented expansion franchise who has somehow now come up short despite only being in existence for 3 years. Like, what are we supposed to make of this?
Yeah, well, it's bizarre, actually. That's a great point. I would say they have every right to be as disappointed as any other fan base, because you go through the year believing that, to me, that's the best team in the West. And, you know, the way I'm writing a piece for Sportsnet right now about, you know, how interesting it is to have hired Peter DeBoer, because Peter DeBoer is someone who has 12 years in the NHL as a head coach so far. And to me, those years have been defined by failing to get a talented group over the hump in San Jose. Mm-hmm. You know, he took that loaded Sharks team, and they lost in the first round, second round, third round, and fourth round over his 4 years there, and just couldn't quite get them over the hump. So to be Vegas and look at that and be like, that's the guy to push us over the hump, is kind of an interesting hire. And then it doesn't happen, and he falls short with a talented group again. And I went back and looked at, you know, when it stopped for Peter DeBoer teams. And each year, the offense dries up for him. And I don't know what it is exactly about the way that he coaches, but his teams have failed to produce offense. They scored 8 times in 5 games against a Dallas Stars team that Colorado hung 28 on the series before. So, you know, Dallas defends well, and way to go, Dallas. But at some point, I got to look at Vegas' bench, and there's got to be some disappointment there, because that's a team that failed to do what they did all year and what other teams were able to do against that same Dallas Stars team.
Yeah, it's weird. And you hear some post-series comments about how the Thatcher Demko incredible couple of games there might have gotten into their heads a little bit. That's, I would say, a little bit concerning. But I would also look at this team in the first 3 years of their existence and go back to the conversation we seemingly have all the time about this sport, that it's not one where always is the team with the most talent winning, but you just have to give yourself the best shot at winning. Like, you just have to give yourself enough roles of the dice. And I wouldn't say that there's enough of a fatal flaw here with this team, and they lose in a game seven in the first round last year in a bizarro call that changes the course of how penalties are reviewed in the NHL. They end up in a Western Conference Finals against a Dallas Stars team this year, in the first year of their existence, of course, in a finals. Like, I wouldn't say it's time to, like, start thinking about the core of this team now just because they haven't won a Stanley Cup in these 3 years.
No, and that's, you know, the thing is, they went all in so fast. Like, I think they kind of got a little excited by how it went that first year, which, hard to blame them. But, you know, going in on Pacioretty and Stastny, you know, those guys, old guys, they're old players. And they basically said, it has to be now. That's why it went from, like, hey, you have such a grace period when you come into the league because it takes a while to get good. They blew that up when they picked up players like those two guys and said, it has to be now for us. And when you lose a series like this one, I think it's devastating to the plan because, you know, next year those guys are a year older. Do you feel like Stastny's going to be better next season? Like, it just, they put a lot of pressure on themselves by going all in on older guys, and now that it's not panning out, it's not hard to see this Vegas team in a few years going, we missed our window, and now, you know, now we're going to be a team that's going to be bad for a while. So they really flipped the script on what expansion teams usually do.
Yeah, and I'm torn on that because it's like, hey, guess what? You had a team that went to a Stanley Cup final. What were we going to do? Wait for the things, like, you know. And you you also had a surplus of assets, right? That it's not as though you were emptying the cupboards entirely. It was, hey, you know what? Pacioretty, I don't mind that move because what? They gave up Nick Suzuki, who looked awesome, right? Nick Suzuki looks like he'll be the better player over the next decade. But Pacioretty still scored 30-plus goals this year. Like, he's not exactly a bum.
Right.
He's
been
pretty good. He's 31 years old. I'd rather have Max Pacioretty in a playoff series right now than Nick Suzuki. The Stastny one was not as good, I would say. But again, still like a very serviceable player. I think you would be more upset as a fan if you decided to say, hey, we're going to wait for the development to come up and supplant. Yeah. It's like, no, you have Marc-Andre Fleury in net. You have, you know, you're trying
you're
to capitalize on
this. You're a free agent destination, too.
Yeah.
Right. You are a free agent destination. Hey, you were a destination that worked for Mark Stone. Like, you took advantage of the Senators at a deadline and basically gave up, I don't want to say nothing, but you absolutely robbed them and fleeced them because this guy could control where he was going to go and re-sign, and you were one of the only markets that he was willing to do that in. And so it ended up being Mark Stone. So Ben's right. I don't think that it's a blow-up situation. That's what I'm saying, is that it's just you start to fear all of a sudden missing a window despite being one of the, you know, more popular teams in the NHL and one of the most loaded teams in the NHL. It's just, it's a very, very weird team to look at from just a sports fan perspective.
So how insane is it to hire Peter DeBoer, the guy who just went through this in San Jose? Like, oh no, we can't quite, the window's closing, the window's closing. And then Peter DeBoer is the only guy who gets through the window and goes to Las Vegas and starts it all over again. I don't know, it's bizarre.
Yeah. It's not phenomenal. You know, I hadn't thought about it until we talked to you, but it seems pretty bad when you play it out like that. So yeah, they disappoint, but Dallas gets through, and all of a sudden Khudobin seems like he's become the face of the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, am I missing this?
Well,
it really,
you know,
does.
Wild?
It feels like he's the guy.
And what's crazy is, like, how much is he Tim Thomas? Tyler Seguin is like, yeah, you remind me of a guy.
He looks like Tim Thomas, too.
He looks like Tim Thomas. He plays like Tim Thomas. You know, it's sort of that.
Like him.
fair. But he's that, like, defense, you know, on a defensive team. Tyler Seguin is going to coattails his way to two Stanley Cups while guys like Iginla and Joe Thornton are like, no! It's going to be fantastic if Khudobin just goes crazy in the final.
He doesn't live in a shack in the woods and have really weird political leanings,
that's
does he?
That's what I'm alluding to.
That guy might.
Weird is one
opens
way to put
out
it.
There.
Yeah. He's just going to, I mean, I guess. It can't be worse than Ovechkin stuff, so he's got to be right there in the same pocket.
Yeah.
I'm not touching it, man. I'm not touching it.
Yeah, okay. Everybody's going to leave that? Yeah, everyone's afraid of touching a door handle that maybe kills you later? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I got it. How mad are you going to be if I do a Leafs question with you?
Not at all. Let's do it.
Okay, good. So there's all this Wayne Simmonds buzz, right? And now basically what you're seeing is that there's going to be local area guys especially, guys who play with a heavy game, this is going to be the rumor for basically the Leafs offseason, right? Okay, who are they going to go out and get that's a quote-unquote power forward? I have been a huge Wayne Simmonds fan for his entire career, but this one feels like a you-missed-the-boat situation, kind of like, I know Lindros, some people say that he was good with the Leafs at the very beginning, but it feels like one of those where it's a name that has always been linked to the Maple Leafs, and then by the time you get around to it, that it actually doesn't really fit anymore. Is that how you feel about it? Is there somebody in that vein that you actually like, or is it actually him?
Well, how about, is there anything more insane than Wayne Simmonds at the trade deadline went to Buffalo? For him for a fifth-round pick. You know, like, the Toronto Maple Leafs, like, he was exactly what they needed, essentially, and they didn't want to give up that pick, and that's fine. But now it's like another year later, and who knows what this weird season is going to look like. And it does feel like, I know the Leafs of old used to go out and get like guys who are name guys who used to be good. And I can't speak to Simmonds' value right now. I honestly haven't really watched a ton of him lately, but I feel like it's definitely, he's not the guy he once was. So yeah, I would be worried about getting a guy whose name is very appealing and his history is very appealing who isn't able to do what you think you're getting when you acquire him.
Yeah, that's the thing with Wayne Simmonds. Is Wayne Simmonds in a vacuum with no salary cap a pretty good ad for this team in a limited role? You can shelter him a little bit, maybe throw him on second power play. But yeah, a guy that can run some people over on occasion. Is at that stage in his career who's willing to play a role, of course, but we...
Production's been dropping for 3 years.
Like, that's right.
That's never a really great sign.
No, it's not, and he's going to be, as much as I'm sure he's being honest when he says, I would, all things being equal, I live in Aurora now, I get asked this question a lot, would it be kind of cool to play for the Leafs? Of course, but is he going to turn down a multi-year deal worth more than what the Leafs can offer him? I think that's also true, and it's not like you're getting in a bidding war for Wayne Simmonds. You're getting Wayne Simmonds, if he's coming to your team, if you're the Leafs, on the cheap and on a short-term deal.
Well, yeah. Let me jump in there before Bourne for 1 second, is that this is my real only hesitancy to pass up on it, is that should you really be turning up your nose at local guys who want to be here at the end of their careers when you just saw what happened with Jason Spezza?
With no asset cost.
Like, yeah, exactly. There's no asset cost. You obviously, you're still up against the salary cap. You need depth forwards. It's like, are you going to tell me that there's dudes on the Marlies like, okay, I think Pierre Engvall is probably better at this point in his career, right? But is he though? Like, is he? Right. Is it like? Are we sure?
I don't know if that's. Are true. We?
But that's what I'm saying. And Pierre Engvall got over $1 million.
But right. Particularly during like playoff hockey and what seems to be lacking from the Leafs when they get in those tight series, it doesn't feel like something Pierre Engvall does. It feels more like something Wayne Simmonds does.
Exactly, and so is. And let me put it this way too: is that. So what's Kyle Clifford going to get this offseason, do you guys think?
Ooh, I don't know.
It's a weird he can't come back to Leafs because if the Leafs re-sign Kyle Clifford, then they have to sacrifice. The pick moves up to be a second-round pick, right? That there's this clause, this poison pill that doesn't allow them to keep him. But I've got to assume that Kyle Clifford is going to get a two – even in a flat cap, that this guy is going to get a two-year deal and that it's going to be somewhere north of 1.5, right? That like, what, 1.7 over 2 – That's something that he's looking at. So you're going to pay him $1 million more dollars than Wayne Simmonds, and you're going to have to give him an extra year. I don't know. That just like the more I think about it, the more I'm actually talking myself into it. That they should sign Wayne Simmonds. That this makes a lot of sense.
Price.
Yeah. Well, no, I think that the price indicator is that he's going to come for you at the essentially the veteran minimum.
What's
that he's
going to
be
interesting?
The Jason Spezza deal. Yeah.
Is that along the way here, the plan has been, well, we're going to develop someone who, again, no acquisition cost and league minimum is going to come in. And, like, here comes Jeremy Bracco. But, like, I feel like that plan has changed and the Leafs strategy has changed. And I no longer think the old plan of pick up Dennison Malgin or Nick Patan is going to be what happens.
Oh, there. I forgot about Malgin. And Patan and Bracco and Nick Robertson and Marner. And
well,
it's like,
don't throw Nick Robertson in there.
No, I threw Marner in there. My point is just size, period. It's that, you know, are you really going to go into that season with this? It's so funny, too, because Leaf fans used to shred Montreal Canadiens fans for being a team that was too small, right? This was kind of the staple of being a Leaf fan, despite Montreal having more success. It was, well, you guys are going to be too small in the playoffs. And then the Leafs became the small team, and all the Leafs fans just kind of forgot about that. Like, ah, yeah,
let me be clear on Simmons. Yeah, veteran minimum 1 year deal. There's absolutely no risk to that, and I would do that in a heartbeat. The point I was making is that as much as the production has dropped off for Simmons, that his market is probably a little more robust than that. If he wants to do it.
Okay. I don't think that's the case because so first of all, Wayne Simmons, shout out to you and I sharing a similar date.
Now Chris Johnson doesn't have to do more research to find out your birthday. He just has to look at Wayne Simmons' birthday.
Yeah, let's put it that way. But here's the problem is that, yeah, it's just the production, man, since leaving the Flyers. Like, he had that awful stint with the Predators. And then with the Devils and Sabres last year, guy combined for a hearty 8 goals, 25 points. Like, I don't think that you're paying guys going into their age 33 season multi-year deals coming off of 8-year seasons or 8-goal seasons. I don't think that there is a robust market, especially in a flat cap band. Like, there's no way that anyone's offering 2 years here. There's no way that anybody's offering, you know, big money here. So, yeah, you know what? We've done it. We've talked ourselves into it. We're all on the Wayne Simmons trade and on a 1-year deal, right?
I'm in. Like, we're all in. I'm 100% in. You sold
it. Yeah, we're all in. Okay, good. Because this is the biggest point now all of a sudden too, which is I think that we do this thing as hockey fans sometimes where we know that a player isn't what he used to be, but we are more enamored by the potential of somebody else when in reality it's like the Jason Spezza thing from the playoffs this year, which is, hey, it's all well and good to believe in someone being better or being more valuable than Jason Spezza, but when it comes down to it, there's a reason why this guy had a really great career and that you put him in a must-win game and he stands out above the rest of the guys who you're hoping someday will be good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's a very. I'm now like having fantasies about this fourth line: Wade Simmons with Jason Spezza and who, the goat.
Yeah. I was gonna say, who is Toronto getting? They got to get one other, just like Toronto area guy who's long in the tooth.
Eric
Although
Lindros.
I gotta hate saying long in the tooth to guys who are 32 years old, like Wade Simmons is. Like, so rude.
It hurts me to my core.
A year older than you, Wayne.
Yeah.
Just grandparents, I guess.
Again, this was an incredible insight to longtime listeners of the show who now have a little piece of information that J.D. Bunkus didn't want you to have about himself.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Bourne, good stuff. Thanks, buddy. Talk to you later.
See you, pal.
Thanks, gents. Talk to you soon.
There's Justin Bourne. When we come back, Kawhi Leonard.
The guy who will tell us what happens in the Stanley Cup Finals. That's where there goes that man. Although you watched a lot of the Stars game yesterday, right?
I watched the overtime, to be fair.
I actually watched the beginning, and I had it on in the background. I saw that Vegas went up 2-0, and I said to myself, okay, good, because I really hope Vegas makes a push and that we get an interesting Vegas moment, because I didn't really get a chance to watch much of them, and I do enjoy watching Stone. And then I got enamored with my football bets, and football takes over the night, and I wasn't really paying attention. And you texted me, are the Stars... What did you text me? Something rude. Like, oh, what a thrilling result that the Stars are in. I was like, yeah, no, a good break for the NHL, getting a team like the Stars in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, my Dallas Stars. I have family in Texas. So I can't tell you the number of texts I got from my wife's family.
They're
just over the moon with glee about their Dallas Stars. Yeah. And actually...
They need Dak Prescott to mention it, because otherwise nobody in Dallas is going to know.
I was going to say, if I just did a straw poll, and they don't live in Dallas. A lot of them live in Austin and live in Houston, but that's the only NHL franchise in Texas. So if they were aware of the NHL at all, they would know that this is happening. I should do a straw poll where I just send out a text to all of the people I know in Texas, whether they're aware that their local hockey franchise is 4 wins away from a Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. I think I know the results, though. So I probably don't need to do that.